Well, good morning, everybody. Nice to be here with you. I want to continue in prayers of the Bible, and today I want to look at a prayer in the three Gospels. It's about Jairus' daughter being healed, actually brought back from the dead. And then we also have, that's in Matthew chapter 9, beginning in verse 18, where we'll begin today. And then that particular prayer basically is interrupted by this one woman with the 12-year issue of blood. And then after that 12-year issue of blood is dealt with in that woman, then Jesus goes on to Jairus' house. But today I just want to look at the very first part of that overall three-part prayer, really, and look at Jairus asking Jesus for help. And I think there's some application there for you and for me. So let's open with a word of prayer. Father, we thank you that we can gather, and we just thank you for your faithfulness. We thank you for the prayers in the Bible. We just thank you for the Bible. We just thank you for all aspects of your word, which is powerful and living and sharper than a two-edged sword. And Lord, we know the only thing that will last forever is the soul of man and the Word of God. And so as we have the opportunity to share in just a few moments this morning a little devotion for the day, may it be something that would stay in our hearts and minds and actually change our lives today. We ask in Jesus' name. Amen. So Jesus has been healing people. He was the winds and the waves obeyed him last time when we talked about that particular one. Then he healed the demon-possessed guy and the herd of swine and so forth on Gadara. And then he came back across the lake, apparently, to the other side. And he healed a paralytic. And then he is questioned about fasting and so forth. And then immediately we go on into this particular prayer. Now, the order is a little bit different in the Gospels of Mark and Luke. This prayer is right after he came down from the Sermon on the Mount. And so it's relatively early in his ministry here on earth. We know that. We don't know exactly when these things happened. But we read here in verse 18, while he spoke these things to them, and he's talking to them about fasting, because the disciples of John came to him and said, why do we and the Pharisees fast often, but your disciples don't fast? And of course, Jesus said, can friends of the bridegroom mourn as long as the bridegroom is with them? But the days will come when the bridegroom will be taken away from them, and then they will fast. No one puts a piece of unshrunk cloth on an old garment, for the patch pulls away from the garment, and the tear is made worse. Nor do they put new wine into old wineskins, or else the wineskins break, the wine is spilled, and the wineskins are ruined. But they put new wine into new wineskins, and both are preserved. And now apparently he's interrupted. Almost, I don't know if he's done or not with that message, but he's interrupted, it would seem, because it says, while he spoke these things to them, behold, a ruler came and worshipped him. Now, it doesn't say really that this ruler interrupted him at this point, but he came and worshipped him. And so whether he was hearing him speak to these other people, or whether he was one of the audience at the last minute or not, I don't know. But it says he came and worshipped him. And I can see when a great need is there, when a need of restoration of life, or when a need for resurrection of the dead is needed, who do we come to? There's only one, and that's Jesus Christ. And so you and I, when we came to the Lord to accept him as our Lord and Savior, we came to him and he healed us, didn't he? He healed us permanently from the disease of sin. And here we have this ruler, and it doesn't say by name here in the Matthew account, but it does give his name in the other two accounts of Jairus, J-A-I-R-U-S. I call it Jairus. It may not be quite the right pronunciation. I don't know, but we'll call him Jairus anyway for today. He spoke these things to them, Jesus did. A ruler came and worshipped him. So, first thing, what? We need to come to Jesus. The second thing, we need to recognize who he is, don't we? How do we recognize who Jesus is, who God is? That's where worship comes in, it would seem. And worship basically means to bow down. Bow down physically, maybe, but also certainly bow down emotionally and positionally with our hearts. So he came and worshipped him bowing down to him, and that's the way we need to come, because we need to come in humility. If we're going to ask the Lord for mercy, we need to give him honor, don't we? I believe. We need to recognize who he is and who we are. And as we worship him and get our eyes off ourself, you know, which is ugly and miserable, and get our eyes on him who is everything, we real quickly get to the point where he is an awesome God and we are just a speck of dust saved by grace, you know? And so he came and worshiped him, and then he asked this question, or actually made this statement. He said, "My daughter has just died." Now, that's kind of interesting, and there have been some critics of the Bible that say, aha, there's an error in the Bible, because it says in Luke and in the Mark account that she was near death, but she hadn't died. Well, then it also says in those two accounts that later, someone came running up and said, she died. So I think Matthew has just kind of put those things together and just said she died. Also, we see in Genesis 48, for example, where it said Jacob was near death. And the word there in the Hebrew, in effect, means that he died. He wasn't dead yet, but he was near death. And, you know, he gathered the 12 sons around and gave them the prophecy. And then what? He pulled himself up on the bed and breathed his last. So he was very near the end there. So this is a final stages. And either Jairus thought she was so sick when he left her, by the time he would get to Jesus, she was already dead. Or maybe this other guy had already come up and said that she was dead, the way it is given to us in the other two accounts. But there's really no real difference here. The daughter died. That's the issue here. The daughter died, the only daughter, and 12 years old. So that's a tough one for a parent, isn't it? So he says, "My daughter has just died. Come and lay your hand on her and she will live." Notice this is very similar to the leper's prayer we had not long ago that says, "Lord, if you are willing, heal me. If you are willing, make me clean." And Jesus said, "I am willing." He touched him and he was immediately cleansed of his leprosy. Here we have a very similar thing saying, "Come and lay your hand on her and she will live." So there's the request. There is the worshiping. It's coming to Jesus, worshiping him, and then making the request. And you see the expectancy in that request, because he says what? "Lay your hand on her and she will live." It doesn't say, "Come and lay your hand on her and maybe you can help her. I'm not sure. I doubt if he will. But anyway, come and try." It doesn't say that. It says, "Come and lay your hand on her and she will live." See the expectancy there? We need to pray with expectancy. Why? Because our prayers are so great? No, our prayers are not great at all. Is our faith great? Well, probably not. But he is great. And he wants to do what his will for us is. This is the confidence that we have in him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. And if he hears us, he grants us the petitions that we ask. So what was the response? Was the prayer answered? Jesus is busy, throngs of people around him. But it says in verse 19, "So Jesus arose and followed him, and so did his disciples." Now, jumping ahead, we'll get there a little bit later in another time, but he's going to ask some of the disciples to come all the way in with him to do the healing and to raise this girl from the dead. But at this point, he's asking the disciples to follow him. And this is still in a training period here in his ministry on earth, isn't he? Because what is a disciple anyway? A disciple is a follower, right? A follower who's learning. And so here's a good learning experience for them. "Come and heal my daughter. She's just died." And Jesus responds to the cry or to the call, "Come." And it says he arose and followed Jairus, and so did his disciples. So we'll pick it up next time with the next event here, that the 12-year issue of blood situation with this woman and how she interrupts him again now. But we'll see how Jesus handles that interruption when he's on his way to heal somebody who died or who is in the final processes of life. There's a lot of urgency there, but we see how Jesus responds to a request under very urgent conditions, and we can learn something from that too. Father, we thank you for the clear example here of coming to you. We must come to you because you are our only hope. And whether it's healing, physically, or whether it's healing emotionally, or whether it's healing financially, or whether it's healing relationship-wise, or whatever it is, we need to come to you, and we need to worship you. We want to worship you, and we know prayer is worship, and we know song is worship, and we know bowing down is worship, and we know just being in communion with you is worshiping you. We want to worship you. We want to make our supplications known, our requests known, our intercessions known to you, and we want to come in expectancy. Lord, if you will, and it always is, yes, Lord, we know you can, but will you? Is this your timing or not? And we know you will answer the prayer. It may not be the answer we want, but you will answer us, Lord. And at your timing, it will be perfect, as we will see. And so may we be in prayer, regardless of how sophisticated or unsophisticated our prayers are. It doesn't matter. It's what the heart position is. And then praying with expectancy that your will be done. We know that. We know you want your will to be done more than we do. And so if we're asking for your will to be done, you will give us that wherewithal to have it done. So bless each one here today. May we be consistently coming to you, worshiping you, praying to you with expectancy. We ask in Jesus' name. Amen.